address it. Otherwise, we will just have a major stop. Speaking to that, you know, the average traffic volumes, you know, depending on the numbers you look at, on on-ramp traffic, 63,990 vehicles a day. On the off-ramps, 84,730. It's an amazing volume of traffic that needs to be moving smoother. As a result of all the traffic and the situation it is, this segment of I-5 has the highest accident rate in the state of Oregon. That should be alarming in and of itself. It's like three times the crash rate of the Terwilliger curves, another past problematic spot. This project, it'll improve the safety of the area and reduce crashes by adding the auxiliary lanes that are needed, allowing vehicles more time and space to emerge. And in that, the addition of the shoulders will enhance the ability of emergency vehicles to handle the incidents that do happen in that particular area. The last thing I want to touch before I leave is that idling time there. An hour of vehicle idling burns approximately a fifth of a gallon of gas and releases nearly 4 pounds of CO2 into the air. I've heard some people speak to the increase of emissions because of it. I have the feeling that emissions can be drastically reduced by improving flow and stopping the cars that are sitting there idling, trying just to get through. In closing, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you for your testimony.
The next three are Tina Wyszynski, Mike Kinjella, and Gwen Baldwin. Jim Howell. Okay, so we've got Jim Howell, Scott Schaefer, and Debbie Kitchen will be next.
Would you like to go ahead and start?
Me?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, by the way, I just double-checking Parking Kitty. Love it. Hello, I'm Tina Wyszynski, and I'm president of the Stadium District Business Association and a resident of Goose Hollow. And I'm here to express opposition to the amendment for the Vista Bridge View, Amendment 2A, number 21, 3A, number 4. A gentleman was here a little earlier named Miles Sisk. He spoke earlier today about needing housing more than he needing, and other people needing housing more than needing a view. He is absolutely right. We need housing. It's no secret. Our business association supports density, and we support the need for more housing. We hear every day that there's a shortage of housing, and we all see it every day. The Stadium District in Goose Hollow is unique in Portland in that we have, and we are zoned for, and we have three max stops. We are the definition of high density. Our businesses support growth, housing, and density. We need businesses to stay alive and thrive, and that can only happen with an increase in housing and people coming into the businesses. And the density, it's right there. It's just waiting for the right opportunity, which is right now. And that's really what the city of Portland ultimately wants. So please vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, City Council, Gwen Baldwin here representing Oregon Locus and testifying related to Volume 2A, Part 1, Amendment 4, and in support of removing the FAR transfer requirement. A half-block site at Southwest Stark and 10th, which is currently a surface lot, provides a really good example to illustrate our request. The base FAR plus the 3-to-1 affordable housing bonus and a 250-foot base height could result in a 25-story tower, but that's not likely to happen. High-rise construction is more expensive than the cost relative to the income that could be generated by that height and that FAR. So it's likely to result in more of a seven-story podium-style construction, which would give you about 178 units of housing, 36 of which are affordable. But if the developer could build to the full allowed height of 410 feet on that site without the time and cost of FAR transfers, an approximately 41-story Type 1 high-rise would be feasible as costs are spread out over more units. This taller project compared to the shorter 7-story one would give the city 128 more affordable housing units, plus 8 million more in SDCs, 1.8 million more in CETs, 2.6 million more per year in property taxes on this site alone. By eliminating this one unneeded step, the city gains so much more in public benefits. It's a simple amendment that delivers bold results. Removing the FAR transfer requirement will not add any new FAR. That's a really important discussion to have in 2018. It simply facilitates using the existing FAR that council already approved. I urge you to take this bold step for more housing, more public benefit. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor Wilbur, commissioners, my name is Jim Howell. I represent AORTA, Association of Oregon Rail and Transit Advocates. We too wish that you would eliminate the I-5 Rose Quarter project from the Central City Plan. If that's not possible, if it, we suggest possibly an amendment or a change to Commissioner Salzman's amendment. It states, ODOT, in partnership with PBOT, will implement congestion pricing and TDM options, and we would like to see added to that, including modeling an I-5 corridor max line as an alternative to this freeway project. And then it goes on to say, to mitigate for climate impacts as soon as feasible, and prior to, and we would suggest you eliminate the opening of and instead replace it with incurring significant costs for the project. That's a way that we, our organization, has been opposed to this project for many years. In fact, we testified back in June of 2012 against it before the Stakeholders Advisory Committee. And I won't read that. I sent a copy of that to you so you can read it, but as part of that testimony, it states, so far, and this was in the testimony, so far, Metro has proposed a viable public transportation alternative to I-5 through the metropolitan area. MAX provides this alternative in a east-west plane between Gresham and the north, but the north-south I-5 corridor has only the old line provided efficient high-capacity transit. And it's my time up. So anyway, you have the rest of it there, but basically we opposed it. We also gave you a copy of four little slides of about a 20-minute slideshow that if any of you are interested in this type of alternative, please contact us, and we'll be glad to show it to you.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you all.
Thank you. The next three are Scott Schaefer, Debbie Kitchen, and Michael Harrison. And they'll be followed by Ted Labby, Damian Hall, and Mark Velke.
Good afternoon. Would you like to start?
Hi. How you doing? My name is Scott Schaefer. I'm a representative with the Northwest Carpenters Union. I'll be speaking on Volume 2B, the Rose Quarter, Amendment Number 2, the Rose Quarter Project. I'd like to thank you, Mayor, and members of the City Council for being able to speak today. I'm here to speak in support of the I-5 Rose Quarter project. As a representative for the Northwest Carpenters Union, of course, we support the $450 million of infrastructure improvements to this. It will also create a lot of living wage jobs for the community and across the city for our workers. But as a native Oregonian and a Portlander, I've watched this great city grow. That growth has become historically unprecedented in the last few years. The infrastructure is kind of reached its maximum with the traffic, especially in this corridor. It was never designed or envisioned to handle this kind of traffic, especially with the 70,000 plus vehicles that daily go through the on-ramps of the Rose Quarter and I-84. The factors that have made this corridor, like my partner had spoke about, the highest crash rate in the state. As most Oregonians, I drive I-5 to get my family to and from what we do daily. I myself have witnessed wrecks there, pretty scary prospect, and have, you know, tried to veer from that with my family in the car. I will drive that, but I will not do it with my family. This project will help reduce and help in the accident recovery by widening the shoulders and hopefully reduce crashes by 50%. We've heard testimony about issues with bicycles, pedestrians in this project. I've been a bike commuter. I know from Southeast Portland to the Pearl and downtown, it's a pretty dangerous ride. The improvements proposed, I believe, would be a safer experience for thousands of bikers and pedestrians and commuters. The connecting central city neighborhoods that I haven't easily been able to access would be there for us, I believe. I'd like to thank you for your time and hopefully your support in the I-5 corridor improvement project.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for the opportunity to be here. I'm Debbie Kitchen. I own a business in the Central East Side, Interworks General Contractors. We're a small remodeling company. We have about 20 employees. And our company, I participated as co-chair of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee for the Southeast Quadrant. And contrary to what some people have described as the stakeholder advisory committees, meaning they are stakeholders from the district, we had stakeholders representing small business owners, representing the four neighborhoods that were affected by Southeast Quadrant, representing nonprofit organizations that are in the Southeast Quadrant, as well as small businesses. And we had some developers. We had environmental groups. We had representatives of active transit and transportation. And so I think it was a very diverse group and represented a wide range of views. And we did not agree all the time. And so I think the what we came up with in the comprehensive plan was a balanced view that looked at increasing density in our corridors, MLK and Grand, and all the bridgehead streets like Burnside and Hawthorne and so on. And that's where the density is concentrated for housing and for commercial growth and job growth, but at the same time preserving the industrial sanctuary in the Southeast Quadrant. We are a unique district in the city. We provide middle-income jobs and in a way that and arts organizations and low-cost space for small businesses and emerging businesses. So I think the balance is really critical, and so I'm very concerned about in Volume 2A, Part 1, the number 20, the Salmon Streets Springs Corridor, that we are limiting heights in the commercial area in the corridors where we need them in order to preserve the industrial sanctuary in the Central East Side and create these middle-income jobs and family wage jobs. So I think that's what's threatened by that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The next three are Ted Labby, Damian Hall, and Mark Velke.
And Carla, could I just do a time check?
I've got one more person. Roger Leachman is the last one who signed up.
Good evening.
Good evening, and thank you for your patience.
Absolutely. I was able to take advantage of your online viewing and watch from my office and then return.
So it was well done.
A seamless system as far as I'm concerned. Mayor Wheeler, members of the council, my name is Damian Hall, here on behalf of a client and property owner, Mr. Joe Angel. I'd like to talk about Amendment Volume 3A, Amendment Number 3, which is a view corridor from an overpass over I-84 looking to the west with view of the downtown skyline and West Hills. There's a proposed amendment within the amendment report, which we are in support of, and request that the council move forward and adopt in its current form. We believe that it is a good amendment because it meets the county's, or pardon me, the city's and council's objectives in relations to allowing full development of the site to the CX density, so increasing density that's allowed in the central city, which furthers the county's affordable housing as well as job creation related goals, which has been discussed here a number of times today. So we think it's a win-win in that regard. We also believe that it provides the same amount of protection, if not more, to the views that are the subject of the view corridor, because we believe a lot of that protection is natural because of the below grade nature of Sullivan's Gulch and the existing freeway. So unless you have any questions, I think it's a win-win for the city. Please adopt the amendment, and that's why I believe we haven't heard any testimony in opposition.
Not in the last 4 hours.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Mark Velke, and I'd like to thank you for the chance to testify. I'll be talking about amendments related to views, and I support the mayor's amendment and also Commissioner Fritz's and Udaly's amendments on views. I had 2 minutes of testimony right here that I was going to read to you today. However, you've already heard it all. So to save us some time, I'm going to summarize it in a 12-word quote. Okay. Now, I'm a simple guy, so when it comes to protecting the views we currently have of Mount Hood from the Salmon Springs Fountain and to and from the Vista Bridge, it really is as simple as the following quote. Now, hopefully, you won't think I'm a crackpot. I did actually look this up yesterday when I remembered this quote. And besides the quote I'm going to use, it was also originally used by Charles Dickens in The Tale of Two Cities, I found out. So, but I'm not using that particular one. I'm using the one from the 1982 movie, The Wrath of Khan. Okay. Towards the end, when Spock is just about dead, he looks to Kirk and he says, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few." So this is what I'm asking you to do to save our iconic views. Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent testimony.
I think there was another line after that, though. The last person I show is Roger Leachman.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Lonely up here. Thank you, Mark. My name is Roger Leachman. Did you have a question? I'm sorry. I thought you started to say something.
Oh, no. Not at all.
Okay. My name is Roger Leachman. I am resident on Southwest Vista, and I serve on the board of the Goose Hollow Foothills League. I don't think I need to repeat what other people have said about the amendments to protect iconic views to and from the Vista Viaduct and Mount Hood. One might instead ask the obvious question, why weren't they protected in the original proposals? I have an obvious answer. CC 2035 was the result of developers, architects, and property speculators with manifest conflicts of interest who were enabled by a planning bureau focused on accommodating those private financial interests, including the rigging of public process in violation of even the very lax government ethic laws of Oregon. The Planning Bureau, as noted before, even evaluated projected private profits for developers owning the 18 buildings whose heights would need to be reduced to preserve a public benefit. No evaluation for the factor of iconic views. On the subject of iconic views, let's move across the Atlantic and consider Paris, France. Paris and the Eiffel Tower. Funny how the Planning Bureau in Paris should ignore this opportunity. All that buildable inventory around the Eiffel Tower. Perhaps the Portland Planning Bureau can instruct the benighted Parisians about the fallacy of their thinking. But I moved from the frivolity of the French to the U.S. of A. I spent the summer of my junior year among the Navajo in southeast Utah, in the area designated by Mr. Obama as Bears Ears National Monument. Mr. Trump has cut Bears Ears by 85%. Why? To benefit extractive industries, especially the uranium miners, whose past activity has already poisoned Navajo water sources. It's the interest of Navajo, Hopi, Utes, etc., being despoiled for the benefit, for private financial benefit of Biligana. Biligana are white men. Light bulb. In America, private profit almost always trumps the public interest. Well, I would ask you to take the smallest of steps to take Portland off the same page as my fellow alum, Mr. Trump. Full disclosure, he graduated in the class after me. So pass the amendments to protect our iconic views.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, that concludes our hearing on the Central City 2035 Amendments Report. Just a reminder, The record will be left open for written testimony until tomorrow, Friday, January 19th at 5 p.m. So if you were not able to be here today and testify, you still have that opportunity to do so.
May I ask a question about that? Is your staff actually going to start working on it at 5:01 tomorrow, or would it be possible to extend the deadline to noon on Monday?
They're hardworking staff. I know that.
I know they're very hardworking, but I personally think that people, having especially done the amount of work that's gone into this particular hearing, you should be able to take the weekend off, and I think that certainly I would appreciate extending the deadline to noon on Monday.
Is there any objection? Seeing none?
Thank you.
We will revise that. The record will then remain open until Monday, January 21st. At 12 o'clock noon. I think that's great. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
I'm sorry, the 22nd.
What did I say? January 22nd, Monday, January 22nd, 12 noon. As I mentioned earlier, I'd like staff to also draft amendments for the upper hall view issue. We moved and seconded today. I'd like that published, please, for review by March 2nd. And in consultation, I understand that's fine. On March 7th, I'd like to begin our session with a public hearing on that particular amendment. Then I'd like to close the hearing and then deliberate on the amendments report and the other amendments that we moved and seconded at the beginning of the hearing today. Is there anything else that anybody would like to do or say before we adjourn?
What time is the March 7th meeting? We should announce that as well.
That is 2 p.m.
It's a 2 p.m. time certain. Thank you.
So the March 7th meeting will be 2 p.m. time certain, March 7th. Thank you, everybody who testified today. Excellent testimony. Great points raised by all. We are adjourned.